Okay, today we are talking about Zevzegrim, which today is part two. Last time we spoke about Zevzegrim, how it relates to one type of the sort of basic halachas, and whether the Gerimim have to be given the same thing, having the same effect or not. And today we moved on to another the second part of Zevzegrim. We're gonna start with sorry about your technology, guys. Sorry about that. Okay. Anyhow. Okay. Hopefully this is gonna work, guys. Okay, anyhow, so today we're going to talk about another thing. And we're going to start off, in Hilchos Shabbos. The din is that if a person cooks food on Shabbos, then it's also to eat it. Okay, you can't eat that food. So, the Rama says, what happens if a person puts salt into food, and he put it in a way that causes it to cook? Okay, however that happens in Hilchos Shabbos, he made the salt be cooked. So Rama says the food is mutter to eat. You can eat that food even though you cook the salt on Shabbos into this food. You'll have to eat it. And why?
Even you cause the food to be cooked because of the sharpness of the salt?
No, you cause the salt to be cooked.
And it's like boiling hot food and you put the salt in.
You made the food cook. However, in Hilchos Shabbos, however that happens, that salt gets cooked, you cook the salt. So there's a problem, you just mavashal, so you cooked on Shabbos, you now eat that food. So the Rama says, you'll have to eat it anyhow. Now, the salt is avital taima. So the salt is a significant part of the food. So how you let eat it, it shouldn't be so to speak buckled in the food. So the reason is because you assume that the person put salt into the food before Shabbos also. As part of his cooking, he put salt in also. On Shabbos, he put in more salt, but there was salt in already. So Zev is a garden. Because the taste that you taste now, the avital taima, so to speak, what you're tasting now in the food is salt from yesterday, which was mutter, salt from today, which is aser. So Zev is a garden, you're allowed to eat the food. Okay, that's what the Rama says. You're allowed to eat the food, even though it has this salt in it that was cooked on Shabbos. Okay, so Taz says, he says, no, this doesn't make any sense. He says, it doesn't make any sense. He says, Zev Zegerim works when you eat the things at the same time. So you eat both things. The salty taste of this food is now because you eat the kosher, so to speak, the kosher salt, and so to speak, the trade salt. You eat them together, and now it's Zev Zegerim because they're both making a difference. He says, but over here, an hour ago, before you eat the salt, what did the food taste like? It didn't taste so salty. Now you add it in, so to speak, trace salt now. The trace salt is the only thing that made it have any difference in time. It made a difference. You added the salt and now it tastes differently. He says, not Zev Zegerim. He says, it was what it was. It had 100 things in the food. It had potatoes and carrots and meat, 100 things in it, and salt was one of them. And when you added salt now, that added to the taste. So you can't think Zev Zegerim on that. He says it's not Zev Zegerim. The salt that he ate it now made a difference in the taste. So that's it. So it should be awesome.
So he would say it's anything by a mother or whatever, you know.
Yeah. This is just one of the examples, right? He says if you didn't put them in at the same time, it doesn't count. He says Zev Zegerim is only when you did them at the same time. So you could say they're both having this effect together.
It's but a big, if you quick, you know, attempt to that he's saying.
That what?
Yeah, all these halachas, there's a garbage coming up. So stop. He's saying that bad, but I'm worried at the same time.
Okay, so that's fine. But the Achronim is a better kasha. Okay, the Achronim, it's a Prima Gadim and a El Yerab, I think it is. It's a much better kasha. They said there's a Beferish Mishnah that says not like it. It's a Mishnah Arla that says it makes no difference whether you hit it, which order you hit them in. It makes a difference. Even if you had to, if you hit it after, it makes a difference. It's also Zev Zegerim. Okay, one of the Mishnayos that has in it the Machlokes or the Zev Zegerim is Motar Aser is talking about a case where you didn't hit them in order. Okay, so they say it's not right. And those are Achronim, of course, don't pass like Taz. And the Mishnah Berurah passing like that also, he says the Rama is correct, that it makes a difference even if the order is incorrect, even if the order is, you did it out of order, it makes a difference, and Zev Zegerim applies. Okay, now, it's a really good question. I was like, so what the Taz made sense, what the Taz said. Okay, so I'm not going to tell you, it's a half a page footnote over here to explain to me. Back and forth to try to understand why is the Taz wrong? The Taz sounds like he said something smart. Okay. But we'll believe it for now. The Rama says, we're going to say to the Rama that even if you didn't do them simultaneously, it's still considered Zev Zegerim. And the Taz argues. Okay. Now, I have two applications of that this machlokes between the Rama and the Taz. The first is about sherry casks. Okay, sherry is a kind of wine, and as you know, a well-known question, which is people age their scotch in barrels that we use for sherry, so they have this sherry was in it before him, and now there's no sherry anymore, but now you age it in it, and that makes affects the taste of the scotch. So there's a big question with the sherry, which is, of course, a stam yayin, whether that makes difference to the scotch. Okay, and we're not going to talk about that, child. When we learned about alcoholic beverages, we spoke many times about that. But the difference started in why that should or shouldn't make a difference, why the sherry should or shouldn't make a difference into the scotch. That's not what we're talking about. One of the reasons that was given there, the Dine Weisses and Schwartz used to prefer, was that maybe it's Zev's a garden. Okay, that it should be mutter because it's Zev's a garden, because the sherry is only part of the taste of the overall scotch. So it adds some taste, and the scotch adds some taste, and so that should be Zev's a garden. Okay, now, Dine Weiss says himself, he says, I'm not sure if it's really Zev's a garden. Maybe it's what we spoke about last time, it's Yesh B'Zev K'del Ham. It's maybe you taste the sherry completely. If you taste the sherry directly, then that doesn't qualify for Zev's a garden. Zev's a garden, remember I told you, has to be, you don't taste each of the things by itself. If you taste either of the things by itself, or it's Hamadah by itself, it would be enough to do a Hamadah that doesn't work. So that's not for our shadow for today.
I don't understand, what does that mean? It's distinct.
Yeah, do you notice sherry taste in the thing? Well, just as an overall color, the flavor of what's going on over here. If you directly...
And does it taste the same as if it would be just sherry?
No.
Definitely not the same thing as if you're drinking sherry.
Of
right?
course not, but is there enough sherry in there to make a difference that you could actually taste it now? Okay? So that's why he's not sure. If you could actually, if it's enough in there, anyway, in a mime or anything like that, if there's enough isser to do the job by itself, then we say there's no Zev Zagar. Okay.
But if it's a blend of flavors, then it's obviously not going to be noticed by itself because it's
so that's what he's not sure about. He's not sure whether it is or is not. And that's, again, that's not our style today. That was when we did alcoholic beverages. Today we're believing. We're just trying to understand the tzad that he said it could be Zev Zagar. Okay, the tzad was that it helps the flavor. And there's taste of scotch by itself. Sherry is also in the taste, and they together could be Zev Zagar. Okay, well, taking that possibility that it could be Zev Zagar. So I'm pointing out that only is true according to the Ramah. The Ramah said you could aid them consecutively. You don't have to be simultaneously. According to Taz, if you have to be aided simultaneously, this wouldn't make any sense. Okay, this case is exactly the same case as the salt. There was an existing taste beforehand. Now someone added in sherry taste into it, and the Taz says, that's not Zev Zagarim, because whatever the sherry's doing, it's doing it by itself now. Okay? So I'm saying this, that the possibility to say that it's Zev Zagarim only is true according to the Ramah, which is okay, because we pass on to the Ramah, but it's only true according to the Ramah. It would not be true according to the Tazel. Okay. Another case, related to whiskey also, is that there's something called blenders. Okay, what are blenders? Blenders is this legal loophole, and that is that the tax law charges very, very high tax for beverage alcohol. Okay, like 100%. I was in a place not so long ago, and they told me they were being charged 200 or 300%. Okay, crazy high taxes on beverage alcohol. They call it a sin tax. If you're doing something that they deem we could beat you up, you're a bad guy, so we can charge you a lot of tax. So, of course, companies don't want to do that. They don't want to pay such a high tax. So the government says, you know, if you put a flavor in, you don't have to pay tax on that. You could put a flavor in, and that's okay. That's not, you don't pay tax on that. So what they do is they put in, you can put in up to 2.5% flavor. So what they do is they put in something called a blender. A blender is technically it's a flavor. But really, it's just pure alcohol. Okay, flavors are made up of a lot of alcohol with a little flavor chemicals in it. So they put in pure alcohol with a little bit of flavor inside of it, and they say, I'm eating a flavor, right? See, I'm eating a blender. I'm eating a blender into this thing. And it actually has some taste to it. It is nice and tom. It has some, you know, some little time inside of it. But it really, for them, it's just a way to get cheap alcohol in there. That 2.5% that they put in is free, so to speak. It just costs a dollar instead of costing $3 for the same.
And they would have to pay tax on the raw materials.
Right, on those ingredients. Now, this is not alcohol, this is flavor. This is called flavor. So it encouraged my flavor, and now we're allowed to put it in, okay? And they're putting these blenders, okay? So that's the kavana. That's why they're putting it in. They're not putting it in because they want the taste that they get. Now, the taste that they do is connected to what they're putting in. They'll have a blender for bourbon, or a blender for rye. And it's a blender that fits with what they're doing. Okay, it fits with what they're doing, but it's not meant to, it's not like you put cherry flavor into vodka. Then you want the vodka to have a cherry flavor to it. Here, you don't want any flavor to this. You just want to help out. I mean, you'll help a little bit while you're at it. You might as well be putting in something that tastes like bourbon into your bourbon. But the etzem, you're trying to just get alcohol into this thing. And the flavor is just your loopholes, where you got around it. So in that case, again, according to the Taz, it would make difference. According to the Taz, you can't say zev zegarim. You can't say the overall thing tastes like rye, and now I'm adding a little rye into it. He says, no, because whatever it tastes like before, and whatever you get it in, you're adding on afterwards. And according to the Ramah, it's fine zev zegarim, because, again, the what you're adding in, it either duplicates the flavor you have,
or... The
Avidah L'Taim is bottled. The alcohol is not. It's kosher. It's the potential. It always is. Yeah. Oh, okay. We work with an assumption from last time that when Avidah L'Taim, you put it in tiny percentages that make no difference. You know, aren't okay, now back to technicalities. I'm sorry, people. I gotta just share my screen if I can figure out how to do that again. Okay. Hopefully. No, it's wrong screen I shared. Okay. Does that make sense? Are they seeing my screen? I have no idea what they're saying. Sorry, people. So, just give me a second. Okay. Hopefully, that's what Shuli is saying. Okay. Now, we're going to talk about emulsifiers. Okay. So, an emulsifier is that there are liquids that don't mix together well, okay? Things that don't mix together well, okay? And the example everybody's most familiar with is oil and water, okay? Oil and water don't mix together. The oil is lighter than the water and it floats to the top. So, if you take milk and you don't homogenize your milk, you take it right out of the cow and you let it sit there, the fat will go right to the top. The oil floats out of the water, so to speak, and the oil floats to the top, and that's why you homogenize your milk to make it stay together. Okay. The same thing if you make salad dressing at home. You mix vinegar and oil together, they don't stay together, so you could shake it up and you could hold it together for a couple seconds, enough to get it onto your salad, but it's not going to stay together. And an emulsifier brings them together. An emulsifier makes them mix with each other and stay together. Okay, so there are, so to speak, natural emulsifiers, things you find out that in nature. For example, egg yolks have in them lecithin. Lecithin is an emulsifier, and that's why when you make mayonnaise, the oil and the vinegar stay together because there's eggs in there. Otherwise, they would separate. That's what keeps them together. It's the egg in there, the egg yolk that's in there, that helps keep them together rather than separating from each other. Okay, that's what makes them hold together. So that's like a natural emulsifier. It's something that holds them together naturally. Okay, but most of them. I'm going to give you an example. Sorry for the people on screen, I'm not going to see this, but a lot of people get to see this. Okay, we have here. Okay, whoops, sorry. Okay, for those of you, okay, maybe I'll show it to the people on the screen afterwards. We have oil and water here. Okay, we have oil and water, and as whoever here can see, the oil and water separates, okay, because the oil flows to the top. Okay, mustard powder, this is, mustard powder is also a natural emulsifier. So if we put mustard powder in, hopefully it's going to work. Okay. Let's stir it up. Maybe I need some more mustard powder. Anyhow.
Where do you get
the
experiments from?
A mad scientist. Okay, so the mustard powder is an emulsifier. It's actually interesting why it's not completely mixed, but anyhow, that's for a different day. Anyhow, so it's a natural emulsifier, and it helps them mix together. Okay, now they mix together. Okay, but most people commercially don't make emulsifiers like that. Okay, most commercial emulsifiers are made like this. They take two components, one which is, the word is hydrophilic, and one is lipophilic. What hydrophilic means, philic means like it loves. So hydrophilic means it loves water, and lipophilic means it loves oil. Okay, and you make something together that has a hydrophilic and a lipophilic together, and now this new molecule holds together the water and the oil, because it has two parts to it. One side likes water, one side likes oil, and now it holds them together. Okay, so our example here is, this example we're going to use is polysorbate 80. What's polysorbate 80? It's made from two things. We're going to call one of them sorbitol. It's really a little bit different than sorbitol, but we're going to call it sorbitol, and one is called oleic acid. Okay, those are the two sides of a polysorbate 80. Okay, so polysorbate sorbitol is hydrophilic. Okay, sorbitol dissolves in water and mixes with water, and also with orbit vinegar. Okay, and oleic acid comes from fat actually, and it's lipophilic. It likes oil. Okay, so if we put them together to make polysorbate 80, the two, the hydrophilic and the lipophilic, come together, and now that'll, like my graphics, that will hold the dressing together. Okay, you put the, what do you think I do? So it helps. It makes the oil, the sorbitol holds onto the vinegar side of this. The oleic acid holds onto the oil of this, and then it holds them together so that your dressing doesn't separate and the dressing stays together. Okay, so that's how polysorbate 80 is a emulsifier, and that's a common way to make an emulsifier. Okay, is to take two solids, one is hydrophilic and one is lipophilic, and put them together. They somehow they're joined as one molecule, and now they hold things together. So some other emulsifiers that we know of being culture sensitive. The first one is monoglycerides. Okay, what are monoglycerides? A monoglyceride means I forgot to mention one. Okay, monoglycerides are glycerin is a molecule, comes from oil and fat. And it has, it comes from oil or fat. And so if you take a glycerin, glycerin together with three fatty acids. Okay, if you break it apart and make the glycerin be attached to just one fatty acid, that's called a monoglyceride. Okay, instead of being attached to three fatty acids, it's only attached to one. But you get stuck with some diglycerides. The diglycerides are not helpful over here. You see them together, monodiglycerides. The diglycerides are not functional as an emulsifier. But the monoglyceride is. So the hydrophilic side is the glycerin, and the lipophilic side is the fatty acid. So this monoglyceride can function as a emulsifier. Okay, it holds the oil and the water together. And the same for the datum, which is similar, and the sodium stearolactate. Each one of them has, the datum has glycerin and tartaric acid, both hydrophilic, and the fatty acid is the lipophilic, and the sodium stearolactate, the lactic acid is the hydrophilic, and the stearic acid is the lipophilic. Okay, so all these emulsifiers work the same way. Okay, they all work the same way, which is one side attaches to the water, one side attaches to the oil, and that it causes them to be to stay together. It's a different kind of emulsifier I'm going to mention, just because it comes up. We see it as an ingredient, brominated vegetable oil. Okay, you may have seen that. And you often see it in certain types of beverages, and the reason why it's in beverages is because if you want to put I use the word higher end beverages. If you want to put in a citrus based essential oil into the flavor to give a flavor, you want to put lime oil into your drink. Okay, if you put lime oil in, it's an oil, and it's going to float to the top. So how are you going to keep your lime oil in the drink instead of floating on the top of your drink? Okay, how are you going to make it stay inside? So brominated vegetable oil is a kind of an emulsifier. It keeps the essential oil in the liquid instead of floating to the top of the liquid.
What does brominating mean?
Bromination is a process. Okay, not relevant to what that process is. But but this works differently than the ones I'm describing here. Okay, it works differently. There, what it does is it's called a weighting agent. It attaches to the oil and makes it denser. Okay, so the reason why oil floats to the top is because it's lighter than water. This makes it denser, so therefore it floats. It stays in the solution. Doesn't work like these ones I'm describing. Okay, it works in a different format. Has the same effect, which it keeps the oil and water mixed together, but it does it in a different way. It does it by weighing down the water. That's what it's called, weighing agent. Okay,
weighing
down the oil. Yes. Okay. So now. Sometimes emulsifiers are used in ways that have nothing to do with being amided. Some have no shaykhus being amided. For example, polysorbate 60 sometimes is added to food. It keeps them from burning. Okay, that's not shaykhus. Nothing to do with being amided. Or this datum could be used to make bread be chewier. Okay, again, it's not amided. Okay, but lots of other times, it's like in our salad dressing that it, in fact it is amided. Okay, well, like I just described to you, the bromelain vegetable, it is a maimed. Okay, now even then, not always is it a maimed that can't be batal. And that's because, you'll remember when we spoke about davar maimed, one of the rules of davar maimed is something is only considered, is only not batal as a davar maimed if it's inherently treif. Something that's only treif because it has a blia is not does not make something else treif if it's a davar maimed. Okay? Because the blia is not maimed, only the thing itself is maimed. Okay, so for that, you need to see how the polysorbates are. Okay, I told you before about polysorbate 80. Okay, but there are three polysorbates that we deal with on a more regular basis: polysorbate 20, 16, 80. And each one of them is sorbitol, a sorbitol type item mixed with a fatty acid. Okay, and the difference between them is which fatty acid it's mixed with. So polysorbate 20 is mixed with lauric, 60 is mixed with stearic, and 80 is mixed with oleic. Okay, all three of those are kosher sensitive. Okay, but they're not kosher sensitive for the same reason. Stearic acid and oleic acid usually come from animal products. So those, if those were used in a food, then there's potential for it to be considered davar ha-maimed because it's inherently treif. It comes from an animal product. But
it could come
from an animal product. Okay, but polysorbate 20. Okay, comes from lauric, is made with lauric acid. Lauric acid is kosher sensitive because of a kalim issue, but lauric acid always comes from vegetable oil. So if a non-kosher polysorbate 20 was used in a food, it had the effect of being maimed, but it would not make the food treif because it would be baltim shishim. Because even though it might have been act as a maimed, it had the effect of being maimed, but it's bottled because it's inherently kosher. It's made from vegetable oil. It may have made a trade of kalim, so we wouldn't want to put it in lachatila. We wouldn't want to put it in. But it's not considered a maimed that makes it usher because it's not inherently trade. Okay? And the same thing, the brominated vegetable oil that I told you about, is the same thing. It's brominated vegetable oil. It's not made from inherently trade ingredients. Those the vegetable oil needed tashkacha because of the kalim might have been made on. But the vegetable oil itself is inherently kosher, and since it's inherently kosher, therefore, the fact that it's a maimed makes no difference. That doesn't stop it from being bottled because it's a maimed, because it's not inherently kosher. Okay? Now, but what happens if we use polysorbate 80? Like in the example I gave you before, we made the dressing, made the salad dressing with polysorbate 80. Okay? So, in which cases would it potentially be considered a maimed or not? Okay? So, Rudolsky pointed at Tshuva in Harpsi, where he gives the following description. Here's the case that he's talking about. Okay, he said somebody added alcohol into sweet wine to keep it from fermenting further. Okay, to me, he doesn't say, but to me, it sounds like he's describing port. Okay, port is you take grape juice and you start fermenting it into wine. So let's say grape juice starts with 0% alcohol, and as you ferment it, if you get, let's say, 10, 12, 14, 15% alcohol, and then it stops. Okay, then it can't go on. The yeast doesn't function anymore when it gets so acidic. So what happens is, when you make port, you let the grape juice ferment to, let's say, 7%. So if it's at 7%, there's still plenty of sugar there. It hasn't fermented yet. And when it's at 7%, you all of a sudden pour in alcohol into it. You pour in brandy into it. So now all of a sudden the alcohol level jumps to 20%. At 20%, the yeast doesn't function. It stops fermenting it. So you end up with something with 20% alcohol, meaning more alcohol than a regular wine would have, but it has sweetness of grape juice because a lot of the sugar has not converted into alcohol. Okay, that's what port wine is. Okay, so it has high alcohol, but it also is very sweet. Okay, that's what a port wine is. That's what it sounds like what he's describing. So he says over there, the alcohol is not a davar ha-maimed. He said the alcohol prevented the sugar from fermenting further. But the alcohol didn't do anything. It just held it back from doing what it might have done, and that's not considered a maimed. His words, if you want to read it, is shar spirits, okay, I don't know exactly how he pronounced it, have spirits, garmu mania shayin hayet lo yishanes tama, they stopped the wine from changing, I mean the partially wine, they didn't change the original taste that it had. So kan yeshlemer shein zem maimed, this is not considered a maimed, the fact that it had that effect on it. You're just preventing something new from happening. That's not considered to be maimed. So Rabowski said, for example, an example that we would have is peanut butter. Okay, when you make peanut butter, if you grind up peanuts and you grind them into a buttery thing, it'll say peanut butter. Okay, if you go to Whole Foods and they make you peanut butter live over there, when you walk out of the store, it looks like peanut butter. But if you come back a week later, what's going to happen is the oils and the peanuts are going to float to the top, and the bottom is going to become rock hard. Okay, that's what happens when you have peanut butter. Now, that doesn't happen to your Skippy peanut butter. Okay, their peanut butter doesn't ever separate. Okay, but that's because there's something in there. There's an emulsifier to keep them together. But if you do nothing, the oil will fall to the top, and you won't have such great peanut butter. You're going to have to stir that peanut butter to try to get the oil mixed back in to make it taste like anything, want to be usable. Okay, so Rabelsky said, in that kind of a case, that emulsifier is what the Hartzi is describing, where the emulsifier prevents something from happening. The oil and the peanuts are all mixed together very well, and just the emulsifier stops it from getting ruined in a few days from now. He says, that's not considered the Dvar Maimon. Okay, that's just holding back from what would have, a change that would have happened, that's not considered the Dvar Maimon. He says, but when you make salad dressing, and you mix the oil and the vinegar together, and you put in the emulsifier, he says, so you know, for 1 second in the factory, as the machine is stirring them all together, they're all mixed together. But everybody knows that the second the machine stops turning, in 3 seconds it's going to be separated from each other. So if you put in an emulsifier then, that is considered to be a Dvar Maimon, because the emulsifier is making them blend in a way that it wouldn't have happened otherwise. Now, it happens, again, temporarily, for 1 second, they are actually blended together as the machine is stirring them up. He says, but that's a joke. I mean, in a second, that's going to disappear. So that's going to stop, and therefore, that is considered that it had an effect of being mined. Okay? Now. Okay, so now we understand that there are specific cases where an emulsifier could be a Dvar Maimon. So everybody would be happy right now. Okay, so most people at this point would stop talking. Okay, and most people assume everything that I said until now, which is that if you use an emulsifier like this and use the right one, okay, that's power super 80, not power super 20, okay, whatever it is, then it's considered a Dvar Maimon, and it would make the food safe. So I'm going to tell you a reason why I think that it's not true. Some people who I told this to thought I made sense, and some people didn't like it. It just made them uncomfortable. I think that it's correct, but you'll hear that's a chiddush to what I'm going to say. And that's like this. In our favorite slide, you saw that what happened was we had our two parts over here. We had our sorbitol. Our polysorbate 80 was made from sorbitol and oleic acid. So we now take that polysorbate 80 and we mix them together, and the hydrophilic and the lipophilic get together. They get together, and they allow them to blend and hold the dressing together. Okay, now, what would happen if you took oil and vinegar, okay, and you put sorbitol into it? What happens if you put sorbitol into it? You put buckets of sorbitol into it. What would happen? Nothing. You'd have very sweet salad dressing. What would happen if you took vinegar and oil, and you put in oleic acid into it? You'd have very oily salad dressing. Neither one of those by itself could do a blessed thing over here. None of them are able to be minded by themselves. Each one of them is completely useless as for being minded. The only reason why polysorbate 80 is minded is because you have two things together. It's only because you have sorbitol and oleic acid that it could be minded. Each one of them is completely aimed at Zekad al-Hamid. Each one of them is hopeless. If you could put buckets of sorbitol, nothing's going to happen. It's never going to turn into, you can make the dressing mix together because the sorbitol is hydrophilic. It likes water. Okay, it likes water. Big deal. It's not going to help us for the salad dressing. And the oleic acid likes oil. If they're not together, they don't do anything. So, to me, that's Zev Zagurim. That's exactly what Zev Zagurim means. Is each one of the components can't do the thing by itself. The two components together can do that. But the two things, it's only because that together can do it, then that's Zev Zagurim. So, for example, year-round, the reason why polysorbate 80 needs hashgacha is because the oleic acid could come from animal. Whoa, that needs hashgacha because it comes from animal. Maskim. Okay, but if you use polysorbate 80, and it was Balta B'Shishim, which it typically is, it was Balta B'Shishim, so was it a maimed? It caused a hamada. Is it not Balta because it's a maimed? Why shouldn't it be Balta? It didn't do it by itself. The oleic acid, the animal part, couldn't do it by itself. It's only because there was sorbitol in there also. You put them in at this together, and only because the sorbitol is in there, it make a difference. On the other side, on Pesach, what's sensitive about polysorbate 80, and you have a kosher polysorbate 80, why is it sensitive to Pesach? Because sorbitol can come from hummus. So we made salad dressing for Pesach with kosher polysorbate 80, but it wasn't kosher Pesach. Okay, it wasn't kosher Pesach. I said, oh my gosh, the sorbitol was is in there. Might have been chametz, and therefore it had a hamad of chametz. The sorbitol couldn't do nothing. Putting sorbitol into salad dressing won't do anything for you. Won't make anything happen. So the chametz had nothing to do with it. The chametz was zev. It seems to me like exactly a zev is a garam. That's what zev is a garam is. Two things together could do it that each one individually can't do it. So to me, it sounded to me. I didn't think it was early enough to answer Belsky's question. You know, he's not around for many years. So recently, when I'm thinking this through, I hear this to people. Some thought that it made sense, and some people did not. So it obviously needs more thought.
It comes together. It forms. It comes. They put the two. The salicylic acid. It's not just the soup.
So you're saying it's the Taz said they have to come together. So of course they're coming together, right?
I understand. Right.
So there are those who said, well, no, but it's one molecule, became one molecule beforehand. Okay, I didn't see that why that should make a difference. You know, what was the we had a riot against those, I don't remember. But what should be the difference? They came as one molecule together, so what? So it's only because they're together that made the difference.
You know? I mean, if somebody had water, you know what I'm saying, and they find out that the hydrogen was also, the oxygen was also, nobody would say it's, you know, it's a good, I mean, right? It's water.
What's polysorbate? We just know you need to put a spoonful of stuff and it makes a difference. But it worked. I just told you why it works. This is what happened. You made this special, you put these two things together so they could do this job, and you created this new thing. Okay, so. now, there's a little question, even if I said it, what would happen, you could have a case where both are sartorosser. Okay? Monoglycerides are made from glycerin and fatty acid. So they could both be osir. But each one of them, eat the glycerin could have come from animal, and the fatty acid could have come from animal. So in which case, both of them are isir. But each of them by themselves can't be maimed. I don't know what that case. What would you say in that case? The zev zev garim, both garim are isir, but each garim by itself can't do it. Okay, each one, the monoglyceride, the side that connects to the water is the glycerin. It came from animal. The side that connects to the fat is the fatty acid. It came from animal also. They both came from inherently from trade places. So together they can be maimed, and they're both isir, but they're neither one is functional.
So if the garim only works, one is mutter, right?
If one is mutter,
is that true?
I guess so. So you think, so here, what, they're both usher. No, well, see, they're both usher. They're both the same thing. You think they're two different things that came together. Each one of them was not functional. The isser couldn't do it, and this isser couldn't do it.
Okay,
I'm not sure. Well, that case, I'm not so sure about. Maybe you're right that they're both isser. Okay, but back to my regular case. That's quite an unusual case. I'm not yet convinced. To me, I heard the point of this, that in a emulsifier, the whole point of the emulsifier, not in the bromated vegetable, was different.
You combine some of the oleic acid, is it nishtanet to become polysorbate 80?
Maybe.
Okay.
I'm not sure, but yeah, maybe.
Say nishtanet. We say nishtanet on cooler, we should say nishtanet on humor, in other words.
That's a new thing. Basically, yes, if it's a new thing, then it's not isser either. I mean, nishtanet means it doesn't connect to the
isser.
It
has isser.
Oh, no, okay. It has some isser and some hetter. So if you want to say brand new, it has nothing to do with the old thing, then it doesn't do anything either. So like the bromate vegetable oil, the thing itself, it's one thing, and it is the maimed. It works differently than this. It doesn't work by pulling the sides together. So the whole thing itself, if it would be inherently chafed, would make the difference. But here, the whole point is, because it does the pieces by pulling them together, that's my thought.